Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M, an interesting week this past week. You know, last week we kind of did two shows in a shorter time frame. This week we're back on our regular schedule. Speaking of regular, how's your Strachi problem this week?
My Strachi problem is beautiful. I've renamed it the Mania.
There you go.
Whenever I...
whenever you have bad really bowel movements, it's now...
Really evacuate like crazy.
Right. So right now you're referring to it here to after as the Mania.
The Mania.
Okay, and I can live with that.
I had a nice one before the show and a couple hours nice. Ago. Nice. I'm clean. I'm ready.
You're relaxed, ready to go?
I sure am.
Ready. Did you wipe nicely?
Why don't you tell me?
And thoroughly?
Why don't you tell me?
Oh.
Sexy bitch.
Oh, ass eating. Anyway, what a lovely way to start the show, ass eating,
that,
right?
On that note, with John eating my ass and making sure I wipe properly.
All right, this is The Riot. Big Fat John, Judo, Larry M. Let's get some quick pimping out of the way. You can follow us every week on our website, thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Of course, you could also follow us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM. What else, Judo? I'm YouTube.
YouTube, Facebook.
I've lost track of all the places you can follow us, but basically, if you think there's podcasts somewhere, that's where we are. Just search for That Riot Show, all the various outlets. If you search for That Riot Show, you'll be able to subscribe to this podcast. And Judo Larry M, we picked up another celebrity endorsement this week.
Drum roll.
Yeah. The very great libertarian comic, stand-up comedian, Doug Stanhope.
Big Doug.
Yeah, over 200,000 followers on his Twitter account. And you know, sometimes, Judo Larry M, you just have to be polite and ask for something.
Yes, that worked out for you.
Yeah, I just asked him, would you mind retweeting our link? And he sure did. But anyway, so, you know, if you're anyone out there, all five of our listeners, it's like, you know, go support Doug Stanhope. And not only is he a fine stand-up comedian, but very very libertarian-leaning, Judo Larry M. He doesn't believe in the state telling you what to do. He's for the legalization of everything, basically.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
I like him already.
And he's funny. And former co-host of The Man Show. People forget. Like, first there was Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, the original Man Show on Comedy Central.
Right.
And then when those guys' contracts were up, they were replaced by two other great comedians. I think they just get the short end of the stick because they were just following Kimmel and Carolla. But it was Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan.
That's right.
Two great comedians in their own right. Great comics in their own right, I should say,
right.
Who took over The Man Show. But anyway, that's our little bit of an opening. Judo Larry M, speaking of funny shit, let's go straight into one of the top stories of this past week that everyone seems to be talking about, which is this so-called catcalling video. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Well, for those that haven't seen it, the catcalling video was made by some woman, Shoshana something, right?
Yeah, Shoshana.
Whatever. Nobody cares because she's a
Shoshana
woman.
Shoshana big time.
Shoshana somebody decided that she wanted to prove, and I'm making what, Judo Larry M?
Air quotes.
She wanted to prove that there is this pervasive issue and what I suppose can only be called the male rape culture society of New York City.
Yeah, right.
Where women, despite their best efforts to look ugly, according to her, are harassed and catcalled constantly.
Yes.
That in, what was it, 2 hours of filming, she claimed over 100 instances of catcalling and harassment and things like that.
Yes.
So, Judo Larry M, did you see this video?
Yes, I did.
So what'd you think of it?
It's terrible that she walked by the same guy 200 times.
Well,
the guy saw it, and they video distorted the guy's faces.
Well, let me ask you something. First of all, before you even get into it,
okay,
with no proof whatsoever, I'm stating that up front, with no proof whatsoever, is it your opinion that this was a legitimate video?
It is my opinion that it was legitimately staged.
That's what I think too. I think it was staged. First of all, she had that same dumb look on her face. I'm sure it was. They'll say it was a hidden camera of somebody walking in front of her that was recording her. But first of all, maybe it's just because we're rape inclined men, Judalarium. I don't know.
We're all perverts.
But she had some like huge cans, set of cans on her.
Big knockers.
Wearing like some black T-shirt.
Black tight dress thing. Yeah.
Not dress. It was like her shirt and jeans or something. Whatever. But anyway, my point is that, and it's not an excuse, but the reason I think it's staged is because, first of all, it's anecdotal. I've never, ever seen that happen to the extent that she claimed.
Exactly.
Now, are we saying there's no catcalling, Judalarium? Of course not. There is.
No, absolutely not. In fact, if you go around like the Javits Center area.
Here in New York.
There's a lot of construction. I don't mean to dump it on them, but if you do walk by like that area, like around noon, there's a lot of the hard hats and these guys just like, you know, it, there's a fact. Chicks walk by, if they're hot, they look, they say something stupid.
Right.
No doubt. But this woman walked through the city and literally she didn't pass a man who didn't like turn and make a comment. Now that's beyond the pale.
Right.
Especially since she wasn't that hot.
Now, the other thing is that if you looked at it, and Judalarium, let's make the assumption that it's an authentic video.
Okay.
That it wasn't staged.
All right, it's real.
The first thing that came out of every liberal woman's mouth, every feminist mouth is, look at this. It's pervasive. It's indicative of the rape culture in this society. First of all, I would say that 9 out of 10 of those catcalls were innocent catcalls. Like, hey, beautiful. Oh, you look nice today. Right? Weren't that was the majority of the catcalls. The second thing is, and I'm surprised, since every time we have an incident like this, the first thing commentators do is point out the race of the people involved. How come nobody pointed out that every single incident of the catcalling in this allegedly authentic video was nothing but blacks and Hispanics?
Because they're only comfortable pointing it out if they're white. And since there weren't any doctors and lawyers doing catcalls, it was generic Joe Jerkoff walking down the street, they skipped that.
Nobody mentions it.
Yeah,
nobody mentions it. Yeah. Like, immediately I noticed that, first of all, most of them were black and Hispanic. The really aggressive ones were Hispanic. Like the ones, there was one case, and I'll freely admit.
Which I find hard to believe.
Right. I'll freely admit that when someone starts following a woman around making catcalls, I think that is a form of aggression. And I do think that's a form of intimidation, Judalarium.
It is. It's her.
So like the guy who ended up following her for what'd they say, 4 or 5 blocks?
Yeah, one guy followed her for like 5 blocks.
Just following, going, yo, mommy, what's up, mommy? Mommy, don't you want to go home with me, mommy? Like, that, to me, is some form of aggression. And if the woman ran across a cop or if she had pepper spray on her or whatever, that would have been an appropriate, you know, to say I felt threatened. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Because that's a form of physical aggression, you know, when you start tailing somebody.
Right. It's another thing when a guy is sitting up against the wall eating his lunch.
And just says, hey, check it out.
Like, oh, nice ass or something like
that.
Now, look. Would it be nice if they wouldn't do stupid stuff like this? Yeah. But, you know, the claim that this is like a perfect example of rape culture and like just male domination, sexual abuse, that's a bit of a stretch. Only that one guy was really out of line.
Right. And that was, I think that might be our point. Our point here is the world is not a perfect place. Are you going to get offended on a daily basis? Probably. And in a perfect world, do you have the right not to be annoyed in any way? Absolutely. But you know what it is? At the end of the day, it's a form of free speech. There is a First Amendment thing here that somebody walking by who says, hey, honey, or you're looking good or whatever, without any physical intimidation, without any sense of physical assault, you know what? That's their free speech, whether you like it or not. You can't count on any laws. And let me ask you this, Judalarium. When did it become in this country that every time you're offended, a law has to be passed?
The 90s.
You know what I mean? Like, really, this has become like the liberal, largely the liberal position on everything. That if some person or group is offended, that laws need to be passed.
To punish the people who they think are the offenders.
Yeah. First of all, they're unenforceable. Yeah. You know, like, they're unenforceable. And then the second thing is, you know what? Maybe at some point in your existence, you have to learn how to deal with disappointment. This is not utopia, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
You have to learn how to deal with rejection. You have to learn how to deal with failure. You have to learn how to deal with being offended. You know, like if a woman walks by and someone says to her, hey, looking good, honey. I mean, she has a couple of options, but what are you going to do? Call a cop and have that arrested?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't kidding when I talked about the 90s. That's when the real politically correct stuff started. It wasn't in the 80s. And this is really just an extension of that. This is, we don't like your language. We don't like what you're saying. And you need to be controlled. And you need to stop saying things. You need to stop doing things. Oh, it violates the First Amendment? We don't care because we're offended.
Right.
I mean, look, these things happen. Okay? Like, I understand, you know, for a woman, maybe you'd like to walk down the street and not have one guy say one thing to you. Okay.
Right.
On the other hand, I actually know some women who find it, like, amusing or funny.
Right.
So, like, again, like the guy who followed her for a couple of blocks, that guy's an idiot.
Right.
But the rest of them, oh, please, just ignore them and keep walking
exactly.
down the street.
Exactly.
This is like that episode of Married with Children where Peggy says to Kelly, are you walking past construction sites today?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Look, some people find it amusing, so... Unless they like get physical or they follow you or something like that.
Right.
Ladies, I would say shrug your shoulders and
just keep walking. And listen, no one's minimizing that you feel uncomfortable. It's just that I would pose the question, what do you hope to accomplish? How are you going to fix something like that? You know how you fix it? All you ladies that are complaining about it, make sure you raise sons that don't do it.
Exactly.
That is the solution. Marry men who will teach their sons not to catcall. I'm standing here in front on the show, and I think Judo Larry M. I could speak for. I've never catcalled a woman.
No.
Ever.
No, never.
Because I was raised properly. I've never walked up and said, nice ass, hey, honey, 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 or whatever the fuck these people were doing on the video. I've never, ever felt the need to do that. Okay? Neither has Judo Larry M. Because we were raised properly.
You nailed it.
We were raised properly. Why is that not part of the solution? That's the part that drives me crazy. You're trying to control what you think is a bad symptom, a bad behavior, way too late in the process. And I might add, inappropriately and unconstitutionally, in my opinion.
That's right.
Right? At the point where you guys are in the street saying, I don't want those construction workers catcalling me, I don't want those guys who are hanging out on the corner catcalling me, that's too late. Because, believe it or not, it's their First Amendment right to say whatever the hell they want.
Right.
The same way Judo Larry M and I could sit here and claim our First Amendment rights to say whatever the fuck we want. There's very limited cases where we are not allowed by law to say certain things. Libel, slander, inciting a riot, right. Things like that. Right?
That's it.
So if you don't want these guys being assholes, Judo Larry M., why don't you, as women, take the accountability and the responsibility to raise sons that don't do that?
Exactly. Because think about who these guys are, by and large. Are they educated?
Nope.
Probably not. Did they drop out of high school, maybe finish high school? Probably. Were they raised by parents who told them, look, you don't behave like that? Nope.
And let's be honest.
These are slobs. And quite frankly, the funniest thing that cracks me up about it is, let's face it, these guys are probably what is designated in this society as blue collar. These are working class. These are like the average guy. Meanwhile, Democrats usually champion these morons for their votes and everything. But then on the other hand, Now, look, here's like a situation where they should be mad at him. I seriously doubt any of these guys who on that video are middle class or upper class or well-educated. They're usually guys who fall into two categories. They're usually uneducated.
Right.
And they're usually like lower class, if you want to call it that, or blue collar. You know, so it's just funny to me because these are people that usually the left champion for votes.
Right.
You know, like your unionized
which is funny.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
look at these construction guys. All they do, nice ass, nice tits. And they sit there and they just do this all day long.
You know, I never really put that together, but you're right to some extent. And again, it just goes to show you, and I'll transition Judo Larry M into this because, again, I had this issue on social media where liberals now get upset. And by upset, I mean, like, ragingly angry when you challenge their suppositions and their results. You know, so for example, again, I was on social media because the White House was issuing a lot of tweets and posts about the pay gap again, over and over,
right.
You know.
Right.
So I went on social media, and there was one particular woman who was screaming about, you know, this is horrible. How can we allow this to happen? How come every single Republican lawmaker refused to vote for the, you know, what is it, the Equal Pay Act or whatever?
One of those.
And I just said, well, maybe the reason they didn't vote for it is because they read the statistics and understand there is no pay gap.
Right.
You know, that the pay gap is a myth. She goes, no, no, the White House published this and they said it was 78%, you know, as if fucking the White House is whatever. But then I showed her the statistics. I explained to her that when you compare job for job, experience for experience, education for education, when you control for all that stuff, women make just as much as men, if not more.
Yeah,
right? That when you take a big average, you're comparing surgeons to GPs, for example. Surgeons get paid a lot more, but guess what? There's a lot more male surgeons than there are female surgeons. So you got to take that into account. Again, where do you address that situation? You address it as children. If you really want women overall to be the same as men and get paid the same, then you know what? Have your little girls be engineers. Train them to love math, which even to this day in society, even though it's changing, it's still overwhelmingly that when you look at science majors, math majors, oh, engineering guys. Majors, they're all men or mostly men. Okay. When you look at secondary teachers, high school teachers, elementary school teachers, when you look at nurses, when you look at those types of professions, guess who what sex dominates those professions? Women.
Right.
Right, Larry? So if you want your women and your daughters to move up that scale in the manner that you want, because again, I don't think there's a pay gap. Statistics from even from the same Bureau of Labor that publishes the 78% number, if you look at their statistics and you look at it job for job, experience for experience, guess what? It is entirely equal. You don't need to change it. So why worry about it?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of women, I remember hearing something about this one time, and they talked about the problems with women going into medical school, and that a lot of them like left or didn't consider it because they were having children and they started.
Well,
family.
That's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. But
and especially if you look at when the so-called pay gap diverges, it's usually because of women taking time off sometime between the age of 30 and 35 to have children, to start a family, to expand their families. Now, you know what? Much like the abortion argument that I have, you can't blame men for the fact that nature has made you the sex that procreates,
that has children.
Sorry. You can't blame that for us, and no legislation is going to change that for you. But again, if you want to change that, you don't change it at the employer level. You change it at the, when your girl is 4 years old, you teach her that it's not unladylike to learn math. That you're not going to be considered a tomboy if you become an engineer. Those are decisions that are made like from day one, Judo Larry M.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to do that. And then here's the part of it that drives me crazy. It's liberals who just can't accept this fact. And they start getting violent. I've had so many people get violent with me, Judo Larry M, simply because I don't agree with them. They get like super violent and super like hateful, and by hateful I mean they're calling me a cocksucker and a small-minded
I see they know
and a fascist.
but you know what it is? That's usual. That's the, you know what it is? Because they're pushing. The president's been pushing the income disparity and all those things right now, and you know John Stewart had the big fight with
sure.
Bill O'Reilly over white privilege.
Sure,
they're pushing all racial and economic issues that don't exist.
Okay, yeah.
And they're not factors at this point.
Supposedly, the party of science that wants to tell me that climate change is real and that climate change needs to be accounted for, they're amazingly ignorant of how to use numbers. They're amazingly ignorant of how to use statistics.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Look, you're looking at when your kids are growing up, what are they doing? What are you pushing them towards? What are you educating them towards? You know, like John said, don't... You know, this isn't the Middle East. You know, women have a lot of opportunities here. You can do whatever you want. Your daughter wants to be a doctor, and just push them towards it. Have them go for it. But, you know, look, if you have a system right now, like John said, most doctors are men, most general practitioners are women. I mean, that's not surprising. Because it's a lot easier to become a general practitioner
than a surgeon.
Than a surgeon.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's no different than anything else. It's easier to be a paralegal than a lawyer.
Yeah. The nursing profession, for example, is still dominated by women.
Usually dominated by
women. Right? And nobody... So, for example, for all you people out there who think there's a gender gap, if we were to look just at nursing, what do you think the discrepancy is? Women make a lot more than men.
Right.
Because in that field, they dominate that field. My wife's a microbiologist. If you go to her lab, I guarantee you there's literally 10 women for every man working in that lab.
Does that affect gay guys?
Yes. But my point is, that's why you can't use the median. That's why you can't use average. Those are like the simplest statistical tools. They are what I would call second grade analysis. You know, you kind of start off and you say, well, if you add up all the salaries for all the women and all the salaries for all the men in this country, women earn 78% of what every man does. And you know what? I'm not saying that's wrong. That's right. But it's a stupid statistic because it doesn't analyze and it doesn't explain to you what's going on, right? The key is getting women to make choices early in life that will allow them to earn higher wages as they go along. I've always said this, and Judah Larim, I'll say it again. Please show me, please prove to me that this wage gap exists. You know why? Because I'll start a business, hire only women, and I'll be 22% ahead of the game. My profit margins will start out 22% ahead of my competitor who is only being a chauvinist pig and hiring men at those higher wages for the same work.
Right.
But you know what, Judah Larim? You know why that we don't see that in the real world? Why don't we see companies comprised entirely of women who earn 22% less for the same work? Why don't we see that? Isn't that what capitalism is about, Judah Larim? Maximizing profits?
That's exactly what it is.
Then why don't we see a lot of these companies?
Yeah.
Because there is no pay gap. That's why you don't see it. What do you think? Why do you think there's no company comprised entirely of these qualified women? It's because it doesn't exist, ladies and gentlemen. All right? Stop listening to the bullshit coming from the White House and feminists. By the way, even if that shit were true, we already have a law for equal pay that doesn't do anything. It's called the Equal Wage Act of 1964. It already exists. Why isn't that one working? Why is there an alleged pay gap if you already have the law?
Right. And of course, the other thing which makes me laugh is they somehow think that if they pass another law now, that's miraculously going to solve the problem.
Exactly.
No, it's not. 10 years from now, you'll be looking to pass another stupid law that'll also do nothing.
The point that
remember back in the 80s, they pushed the ERA a lot.
And the 70s, yeah.
In the 80s, there was the Equal Rights Amendment, and yeah, they wanted like some arbiter to decide that like a female janitor does the same work as like a man brain surgeon and stupid stuff like that.
Right.
And equity. Look, these things are bullshit. The reason for the disparity is usually comes down to education. Like the more education you get, the better the job
and experience.
And experience. But if you're educated and you're motivated, you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to do very well. If you don't have the same level of education, you may be motivated, but you're not necessarily going to make the same as that other person.
Sure.
There's no disparity. I mean, I understand that right now there is a huge gap between like what the rich are making and everybody, but that's going to be under any system.
Right.
That's going to be under because wealthy people are doing well. You don't compare yourself to the people always at the top of the ladder.
Right.
Okay? I mean, if you look at the money that the people make in this country, by and large, you can have a good, comfortable life. You're educated. You're doing well. It doesn't mean you're being deliberately discriminated against.
Right. And the thing to keep in mind is when you look for laws to remedy the situation, laws have to remedy either other laws, you know, or laws that are restrictive. In other words, it becomes very easy to say, well, we had slavery in this country and we needed an amendment to change it. But what is slavery? Slavery is coercion. Slavery is forcing people to do something. You want to eliminate the coercion. The free market doesn't need laws. The free market takes care of the smarter people, the harder working people, the more valuable people get paid what they deserve. It's very simple. And the market figures that stuff out. I always laugh at people who say our teachers are more valuable than our sports writers. therefore teachers should earn more than sports writers. Guess what? If everybody felt that way and we lived in a really free market where wages were set according to demand and supply, teachers would earn a shitload of money.
Right.
All right? The problem is twofold. One, despite what we say, we really don't value teachers that much as a society.
Right. That's just a popular saying because who's against education?
Who's going to come out and say teachers deserve shit? Nobody says that. Right? But deep down, our actions tell us that that's not the case, that we value a LeBron James more than we do a college professor.
Right.
Why? Because in the free market, LeBron James is earning, what, $15, $20 million a year, and a college professor has to go on food stamps.
Right.
Okay? Whether I think that's quote-unquote fair or quote-unquote good, it doesn't matter. The point is, as a society, that's what we've decided.
That's what we've decided, and the market is bearing that out.
Right.
So one guy makes $20 million, one guy makes $20,000. That's the way
it goes. It's really the case, and here's the interesting point. If it's really the case that we value the college professor more than the athlete, and yet the athlete earns more money, what does that tell you, Judolarium? It means somebody's fucking with the free market. It means that someone, more than likely the government, is stepping in to change those salaries and to change those perceptions.
Boo.
Right? That's what people don't understand. What do you think? There's some sort of room somewhere in Washington, D.C. with a couple of eggheads that sit there and decide what everybody's salary should be? Is that what we think is happening? If you're a big government liberal, do you think that's what's happening? That there's some cabal somewhere that sets salaries and wages?
Yeah. I mean, look.
I think that's what they think, Judolarium.
Well, they're looking at it as, you know, it is. They're making in their minds a value judgment. Why else would you say, well, a college professor is more important than a sports figure? Why else would you say, a public school teacher is more valuable than a musician? Like, in other words, they're just making this value judgment. The other thing which drives me crazy about this is, you know, a lot of the people that they hate. A lot of these rich, successful white guy, Republican, a lot are people who are very educated and they've gone through school and they studied. And when everybody else was partying and goofing off, they stayed home and studied and highlighted in their textbooks. Now that they're successful, you fucking hate them. It's the stupidest process in the world. One of the things that always drives me crazy, who pushes education more than Democrats and liberals? They won't shut up about it. They even created the Department of Education, which does nothing.
Failure.
Meanwhile, if you actually succeed in that system and you come very, so then they hate your guts. Then they imply you did something wrong to get your money. You should be taxed at 80%.
Right.
You know, like, then it flips.
You're somehow evil for wanting to be successful.
No, but if you're going to push, well, look, be educated. Well, you know what? A lot of these people you can't stand, they are educated. And
well,
they went through the process and they committed themselves to it. Now that they're doing really well, you're going to hate their fucking guts?
Even if they're not educated, they're hardworking. They persevere. They fail, they pick themselves up, and they try again.
Well,
these are things that perseverance...
They're not taking ambition.
Well, that's the thing.
They're just making a value.
Perseverance is one of these qualities that's severely overlooked in today's American society. The concept that if you don't succeed right away, someone's out to get you. Do you know what I mean? That somehow, if you try to be an actor and you don't get an Oscar, your first role... somehow it's the system that fucked you over.
Yeah, you've been cheating.
You know, let's be honest with ourselves and all you liberals out there, because this is the problem that I see with a lot of liberals, being a parent myself. Your kid's not special.
Exactly.
Your kid is not, it wasn't born to be Alexander the Great. Okay? Wasn't born to be Julius Caesar. Wasn't born to be Einstein or whatever the fuck you think your precious little bundle of shit is. Okay? Yeah. The point is that children have to be taught. They have to be instilled with certain character building qualities.
They have to have values.
They have to have the values that you want them to have. They are not infused by the government with those values. They are not infused by society with those values. Okay?
Right.
You want your kid to be educated and go to college, instill a love of education in them. Instill a love of learning in your kids. Don't just assume that the government will take care of that for you.
Right.
Or that your kid has the right to a free 8-year college education.
Right. And on top of which, you know what? It always cracks me up. I was watching some debate with Democrats, or like a gubernatorial, and they're going on about education. Everybody should have this education. And I was like, you do realize that if you take them out to their logical conclusion that everybody deserves this high education,
right.
Who's going to do all the shit jobs?
Right, right.
That's always been my thing. Like, if everybody got the level of education that they insist upon, that they think you should, or at least, I guess, have a shot at, but if everybody was, who's going to clean up the dog run? Who's going to deliver newspapers?
Right.
You know, who's going to run a Ferris wheel at the fair? You know, like, you know, there are certain, like, just generic, simple jobs that you have, a certain percentage of the population has to do. Highly educated people are not going to do these jobs.
Yeah, and
like you are not. Like, John and I aren't going to do those jobs.
Unless we had to. Right. Yeah. Unless we were starving.
Right, but that's not going to happen. We're college-plus educated people. We're not going to do it. And if everybody is in the Mensa Club, well,
nobody's in the Mensa Club.
Right. Then who's going to deliver pizzas?
Right.
You need a certain percentage. I mean, even though it doesn't sound right, you need a certain percentage of the population that's going to do these jobs.
But, you know, I don't even know if I would phrase it like that necessarily. But my point is that let's assume you're not educated. That's fine. Not everyone goes to college. I get it.
That's
Or people understand the value.
But then you're not going to make a lot.
Right. Or you have to make your living and succeed in a different way.
Yeah, but
that's all I'm saying.
The fact is, if you look at it, I'm sure the numbers bear this out. The majority of people who are not terribly educated are not making a lot of money. And then you're going to have a disparity between
you're probably
them and
the
people who are better educated and making lots of money.
You're probably right. But the other thing that's a portion of this isn't education's a big part of it, but also is, again, that perseverance. I know, again, this is anecdotal, but I know plenty of people who are not college educated, who barely finished high school, but you know what? They kept at it.
But that's ambition.
That's ambition. That's perseverance. That's just stick-to-itiveness, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's like when you first start out, if you've got a minimum wage job, you get two minimum wage jobs. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you pocket the other stuff, or you use the money to get a trade. You go to trade school, like my father did. He used the GI Bill when he got out of the Army, and he made, you know, he was a laborer, but he learned to be an auto mechanic. That's what he wanted to do, right? He's not a college-educated person. My father barely finished high school back in Greece before he came here, right? That's the point. The point is you stick to it, even if you don't have a college education. And what's even more important, if you don't have a good job, if you don't have a college education, if you think something's missing in your life and you have kids, make sure your kids get it.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes there's the concept of sacrificing for the next generation, for your family, which again, Judo Lariam, seems to be completely missing in this society.
That's gone. People like, let me tell you something, people like your father you were just talking about, when I was listening to that, I was thinking of my grandfather. My grandfather, my mother's side, came here from Calabria, Italy, on a boat full of cattle. Okay,
and there you go.
He came here 7 years old. Now, we always used to tell him he was born to be an American because he was born in 1900 on July 4th.
There you go.
So he came here. Let me tell you something. He had the equivalent of just eighth grade education. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
Now, despite it, he owned the Bonsoir restaurant, which was hugely famous in this city in the 40s, 50s, and
right,
60s.
Right.
He owned another place called Ernie's Three Ring Circus, which, believe it or not, it was on Thompson Street, hugely popular. The Bonsoir, that's where Barbara Streisand got her start.
Right,
she
right.
talks about my grandfather in some of her books. He met Nixon, came to visit him one time. He owned a couple of bowling alleys. You know,
was he the one who invented the ice cream cone?
No, that's my great grandfather on my father's side.
Nice.
He invented the sugar cone or the waffle cone, and unfortunately, he did not get a patent or a copyright on it because, like most inventors, he was like eccentric and a little flaky, and he just didn't do it. But he did take it to the St. Louis Fair in 1915.
There you go.
And it was like a revolutionary idea. People were putting ice cream in this like waffle cone and like sandwiching it, like pushing it together,
right,
like two pieces, and eating it, which was not done at the time. And, you know, but if you look at these people, like look at my grandpa with little or no education. Look at the bowling alleys, restaurants. He was very successful and he had a wonderful life. Of course, the other thing which is missing in today's society, when he got married, he refused to speak Italian in the household because he thought it would hurt his children.
Right.
So he only allowed English to be spoken.
There you go.
That's gone too now. Now, if you say like you think people who are speaking Spanish, they should be speaking English more, or you're a
right.
racist and you're
right.
a bigot. But, you know, that didn't exist back then. So, yeah, but you can see the difference. John's father, like these are different people in different times. You know, the people on the left, the things that annoys me the most is you just seem like quitters.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you the truth. Like when I, where I live, I used to pass by those occupied Wall Street people
sure.
every day
sure.
going home. And I got to tell you, What a bunch of losers. I don't care if you tell me there's some legitimate stuff in it. What a bunch of losers. I watch these people. They're like the dregs of society who just all gathered in one place and just decided, you know what, like life isn't happening for me. And everything, if you just listen to their conversation, everything was just resentment towards people who were doing better than them. I mean, what is that in life? Just to be a jealous loser like that just because things aren't happening for you. Get up off your ass. And, you know, I mean, what did my grandfather have working for him that he started restaurants? And, boy, somehow he, you know.
He was willing to get it done.
Capital and he got it done and he opened. And he was very successful. You know, where's the ambition here? I mean, those people, I don't know. Maybe they had one or two issues I might have agreed with, the Occupy Wall Street. I don't know.
Right.
They had a various amount of issues. But the reality is you see people just doing nothing and they expect to be taken care of.
Right.
And it's fucking pathetic.
Well, that's what I meant. Even ambition isn't quite the right word. That's why I prefer to use perseverance, Judalarium. Those assholes on Occupy Wall Street had the ambition. They all wanted to be rich. They all wanted to go to college. It's just that they didn't want to work for it.
No, but I was going to say, they wanted it to be handed to them.
Right. So they had the ambition. They didn't have the perseverance. They didn't have the ability to work.
Yeah, but that's not ambition.
Ambition? No, ambition is the desire for something. That's ambition.
But they didn't have the desire. Wanting people to give it to you, have like rich people taxed and give it to you, that's not really ambition.
It's
just nanny state.
Right. That's not ambition the way you and I would define it. But again, the point is, it's like,
that's selfish.
This whole society now just wants shit handed to them. And unfortunately, they don't stop and think, who's going to hand it to them?
Yeah, Mitt Romney got in trouble for this.
Yeah.
When he said something like 47% of society is like freeloading off the other 53%. Now, he may have been the wrong person for that message because he's worth about $220 million. Right. I don't know. But the reality is,
he's right.
He wasn't wrong. And you see these people getting all pissy, like, how dare he say a thing? What do you mean, how dare he say a thing like that? How much longer do you think you can go on with a society of, like, friggin' freeloaders while everybody else is picking up the tax bill?
Exactly.
And if you look at the Democrats' economic policy, it's all geared towards, well, corporate America, rich baby, you have so much, you can just keep giving. That's nonsense. You're like, not only are you like dancing around socialism at that point, it's a policy. It's an economic policy that just doesn't work. Name a place where it's worked.
It's never worked.
All the rich people are leaving France right now because that socialist guy, Holland, raised their rate to 75%.
They're more willing to live behind what used to be the Iron Curtain than live in France.
Yeah, that guy, Depardieu, moved to like Beldane, went to Russia, then he went, but he doesn't even live in his own country.
And that fucking guy's rich.
Oh, he's very rich.
Now, here's the other thing. Before I could hear a lot of Democrats bitching again, by no means I would think that Larry and I are suggesting that Republicans have the answer.
No,
they're
right
just
now they don't.
They're just a lower rate version of the Democrats. In other words, their policies still suck, but they suck less than the liberal big government policy.
Right, but they've definitely become big government.
You know, what you need to do is stop having the government be the solution, be the first knee-jerk reaction to any problem. That's what, you know, like I saw the other day, Judalarium, I forget the name of it, but there was I think it was the Virgin Atlantic private spaceship.
Oh, it crashed.
Yeah. That it crashed. And you had two private crashes in the same week. And I hear a lot of assholes pointing and laughing, that's why you need the government to do it. That's why you need the government to do it. Let me say something here. First of all, the government had its series of failures in the early days of the NASA program. Anyone who thinks that everything went smoothly.
Absolutely.
You're
they
just
have footage of those old rockets. They took off and then all of a sudden they just fell sideways.
Exactly.
Like right onto the ground.
Exactly. Secondly, here's the beauty of it. Not beauty. I don't mean beauty because people died, but I mean
beauty
of the argument. When those private planes crashed, who's the only ones who suffered? The companies that built it and were trying to get somewhere with it.
Of course, that Braniff guy, whatever, the English guy who built all this shit.
When the government fails, who fails? All of us do.
Taxpayers.
Taxpayers pick up the bill. Private companies have to be careful with their capital. You don't see them wasting it. Government doesn't give a shit because they just tax you for more money. And that's what I think, and again, this is where liberals and big government statists and socialists and communists kind of like have this logical disconnect. Where do you think all this shit is coming from? You're just blanket saying the wealthy, as if they're not people, as if the more you tax them, the more happy they're going to be to give you their money, yeah. The more happy they're going to be to increase their productivity to meet your needs. Right. again, I've never understood, like, for example, Judah Lariam, when liberals call me greedy for wanting not to pay more in taxes, they'll say, you're a greedy fuck. I've never understood why I'm greedy for wanting to keep what I've earned.
Right.
But
as,
you're
as
but
if
you're
you prog- owe it to the government.
Right. But you're progressive for wanting to take from me what you haven't earned.
Right.
I've never understood that moral equivalency of yours, that moral reasoning if you're a liberal. And please, send me an email. Go on Twitter and explain it to me. Why am I greedy for wanting to keep as much as of what I've earned? I'm greedy. But you as a liberal, you as a big government statist, are being progressive and high-minded for wanting to take what you haven't earned.
I'm sure their argument would fall somewhere in the area of, well, you have plenty. And if you have plenty, you'll still have plenty after we tax you. Like, it's like a vague, it's like a weird world of not understanding that the government is not entitled to my labor. They're not entitled to my work. They're not entitled
right.
to tax me based on what I've done last week, last month, and whatever work I'm doing, that's my money. I'm working, I'm taking care of myself. The government's not entitled to it, and I don't owe it to them to give them half my money or the majority of my money. And what you said before is absolutely right. The liberals love doing this. And then they find like two or three like rich assholes who will say, oh, I don't mind if you raise my taxes. Yeah, good for you. You know what? If you really think that, just to show what assholes they are, Michael Moore said that once.
Warren Buffett talks like that.
Yeah, Warren Buffett says shit like that. That idiot Soros. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's a, I don't know the number, but there is a rule in the IRS code. Where you, even though nobody takes advantage of this, obviously, but there is something that says you can give money to the government.
Sure,
you
of course.
You can give money to the government. You can just designate, oh, here's $10 million, give it to them. You know what? Warren Buffett and these people, you really think that you have plenty and you don't mind? You know what? Warren Buffett's worth like $6 billion or something like that. You know what? Take $5 billion and just give it to the government. Just give it to them directly. Why do we have to change the tax code to stick it to everybody just because you're willing
exactly.
to give up your wealth? You know what? Take advantage of the IRS code. Give it directly to the government. Keep enough to live on. And then you're done. Why do we have to have a fucking tax code?
But they never do.
No, of course not. When we should be moving towards just like a flat rate of 20%.
Right. And here's the funny part, Judah Lariam, to sort of put a cherry on the sundae you just constructed. Soros, Buffett, Bill Gates.
Yeah, Gates said it. You know.
Now, I'll say one thing for them. They are very charitable. They do give away a lot of their wealth.
Oh,
I'll give it to them.
Oh, absolutely.
But guess what? They never give it to the government. They give it to private organizations
right.
or they give it to foundations that they themselves established. Why is that? Because they know that the private sector is far more efficient in distributing and affecting those charitable funds than the government will ever be. To your point, if Bill Gates is in the mood to give away $1 billion, which I've heard he's done. I'm not shitting on him. The
yeah.
guy is a humanist. He set up those foundations to battle,
absolutely.
What is it, to improve education in the U.S.?
Absolutely.
The guy who owns Facebook, what's his name, Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg.
What did he do? I heard he went back to New Jersey and started donating money to a lot of colleges and stuff.
Yep.
I'm not saying
he's,
these people
he's
aren't...
paying for the tuition.
Right. He's not... We're not saying these guys shouldn't be charitable, but notice something very key to what Judah Lariam just said. They never just turn the money over to the IRS, which they're allowed to do, and it's very easy for them to do. I think you just check a box on your tax returns and you say, take this amount and donate it towards the government. You know,
yeah.
They never do that. What they'll do is they'll give it privately to people, and they'll give it to organizations that they, you know, like the Red Cross or something like that. Why? Because they are far more efficient and far more effective than the government. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Why would I want to give more of my money to some shitty organization? Now, I'm
that,
not...
That has run up $17.5 trillion
right.
debt.
And accomplishes
no,
very little.
Does very little. Has no plan to get rid of it. And by the time this idiot leaves the office, it's going to be in the 19 to 20 trillion area. And any plans to get rid of it, like Paul Ryan or any of these guys, you're a racist, you're mean, you're horrible, you're draconian. Oh, please. Any other stupid arguments to make sure that we never get out of debt?
Right.
And people who don't understand the terrible effect of all this debt and what we owe the Chinese.
Right.
God's sake.
Mao!
The people who don't understand why this is terrible for our economy, for our future, that the dollar, just like the dollar replaced the pound as the world currency back in 1975, you know, the U.S. dollar is on the verge of, it could get replaced. It could get replaced by like the euro or something.
And you know what? Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that when you have the default currency the way we do, and for those that are not versed in monetary stuff, like the fact that every transaction around the world at some point gets denominated in U.S. dollars is a huge benefit to us as an economy.
Absolutely.
Because people have to have a reserve of dollars. Other countries have to have a reserve of dollars. Because at the end of the day, whether you're dealing pound sterling or whether you're dealing euros for yen or whatever, the point is that every one of those deals, at the end of the day, at some back office somewhere, at some clearinghouse, gets done in dollars. Right. Dollars become the default currency. And despite our problems, the dollar is still considered the safest haven in the world.
Right.
So,
but that could change.
When you lose that, when that goes away, think of how much of your economy gets destroyed, because now people don't need dollars anymore. Other governments don't need dollars. So they stop buying dollars. They stop having reserves of dollars.
Right.
And you know what that does to the economy? It fucks you in the ass.
Yep.
And the reason you get fucked in the ass as an economy, as a currency, is because your dollar gets devalued.
Right.
Because Washington keeps printing tons of them.
Yeah, just meaningless dollars. And then at a certain point, seriously, and I saw this from years that I worked in corporate America before my security gig, your currency becomes like the Brazilian rand or the Mexican peso. It's meaningless. Like, nobody cares. It's like a piece of paper.
You just use it to wipe your ass with.
Yeah, it's a piece of paper with like some dead president on it.
Now, the funny thing is, you know, people say, well, what do you... Look, Judo, and I'll say this every time just to make it clear. We are not anarchists. We don't believe in the destruction and abolition of the government, the abolishment of the government. We are not fucking anarchists, okay? But what we do say is that the government has grown too big. It involves itself in way too much of the individual's life, and it really should be scaled back to the four or five functions that governments are properly designed to handle: national defense, maintenance of a national currency, enforcement of the laws, management of a court system. That is what government that's the proper role of government. Right. The proper role of government is not to legislate whether or not I yell at a chick that she has a nice ass.
Telling me to wear a seatbelt.
Or to wear a seatbelt or a helmet, goddammit.
Or whether I can smoke a joint.
That is not the policy, and that is not the role of the government. It is not the role of the government to make sure that everybody has a two-bedroom house with a three-door garage or whatever.
Right. And right? You can see the effect by the Democrats just on society in general and all their allies. Look how many people now in society, they just expect government does these things. They don't even think about it. Like, oh, yeah, the government should do these things. Remember I was telling you that one thing on the O'Reilly fact that they have that guy who does Waters World?
Sure.
And he goes around and he interviews people and he asks them about history and the government. He did one from Cape Cod and every single person was like, well, the government should guarantee like a house with two bedrooms and a car. And some other guy said, oh, yeah, like illegal aliens, let them in the country and give them good jobs. Then they had the other guy who said the government should give every citizen in this country $100,000 a year just for walking around like spending money. And then like at the end, the guy went, well, how are we going to pay for all this? And you could hear the crickets.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's mentality.
Yeah.
All this, they just get the government to do it because there's this sense that there's plenty of money. There's plenty of rich people. There's plenty of money. And, you know, because when they don't see, like, for instance, John just very articulately laid out why all this debt is terrible. But you've got people who, if they're not feeling it, like in their everyday life, they're going about their business, they're hanging out with their friends, they don't see the effect. They don't care. They don't think it's real.
Right.
So then you get, and then you combine that with the general like laziness of, oh yeah, take care of me. And this is what you get. The government should give me $100,000 a year just spending money, just to walk around.
You see, the interesting thing here is that in the overall scheme of the history of the United States, the concept that the government is here to help you is a relatively new one. I would say basically from the 1960s on.
It's post-60s.
Yeah. So it's been only about 50 years that there's been this kind of, like, In the 40s and 50s, if someone from the federal government came to your door and said, I want you to do this, you know what the correct answer would have been from anybody in the house? Get the fuck off my porch. Wait till I get my gun. You could talk to my shotgun. That was the proper response to a fucking federal agent at your door. Okay? The concept that the government was here to feed you, to take care of you. First of all, Roosevelt started that shit when he enacted Social Security. And if you look at what Roosevelt did, he only meant for it to take care of you the last 2-3 years of your life.
Yeah.
Because when you set it up to be effective at age 65, you have to understand, when he passed the Social Security law,
they didn't think anybody was going to live that long.
Yeah, the average age was 68.
Yeah.
The life expectancy back then, when retirement was set at 65, the life expectancy was 68.
I thought the life expectancy was 62.
Yeah, no. It was 68, and he set it at 65, right? If you took even Roosevelt's, who, by the way, could be the one liberal that's done the most damage as a president to this country in the last 200 years, all right? Because he's the one who started this bullshit about cradle to grave being taken care of by the government, right? But even Roosevelt, even that fucking leftist socialist cocksucker, even he managed to figure out that you couldn't take care of people for 30 years on Social Security. Right? Because like I said, right, Social Security kicked in at 65 when he passed the law. You only lived to be 68 back then, right? Yeah. Now the life expectancy is what, Judah Laramie? Is it 78, 80, something like that?
Yeah.
Do you realize what the equivalent would be? That would mean that the equivalent for today, if you were to start Social Security today using FDR's reasoning, the retirement age would be 74 or 75.
Right.
Okay? So, but if you tell that to people now, they'll fucking string you up and cut your balls off.
Yeah, but also they didn't understand. They don't understand that the point of the program was just to supplement.
Right.
You're not supposed to just be living on it. And
right.
I've met people who think like, well, you know, Social Security isn't enough to live on. It was never meant to
not
be.
Not supposed to be.
Not supposed to be. And based on what John's numbers, which are accurate, 65 to 68, that would be like if I got money now, like coming into 2015, like it's supposed to be done by 2018. Like, you know, like
yeah.
they're expecting like, well, you'll live like 3 more years. Like, but again, it was just like a supplement. You're not supposed to be living on it, for God. You're supposed to have some savings.
And for all
you're supposed
you,
to
yeah.
have some equity in your
or
home
some family or structure.
Yeah,
like for all you liberals who talk about this shit, it's not the government that's supposed to be taking care of you in your old age. It's your family that's supposed to be taking care of you at this.
Supposed to be taking care of you.
Right. For all you liberals that toss aside your parents, toss aside your grandparents, that you don't take them into your home to have them live with you in their golden years. For those of you that make sure that you only take care of yourself and not your parents. Shit, that was part of the Social Security formula too.
Right.
Like the old joke is, you know, two guys in their 40s are talking. They're saying, what's your retirement plan look like? And the other one says, I got 3 kids.
Right.
Because the concept was that those 3 kids would help to take care of you. And believe it or not, that's what was done in this country before Roosevelt. Grandma and grandpa lived with mom and pop.
Yeah,
and the 3 kids.
But nobody does that anymore.
Well, that's part of the problem, right?
Unfortunately, that also ties into the advent of like old age homes.
Sure,
like people, you know, unfortunately, people got a little bit more selfish over the past 4 or 5 decades. The concept of keeping them in like in the house, like upstairs, or is that, you know, that's why when you see these things, when people, you know, place their parents like an old folks home, they try to find, well, it's got a golf course and you can play,
yeah.
you can play canasta and jerk yeah. off, you know, because yeah. they want you to be entertained or amused so that you won't just be sitting around collecting dust.
Well, that you won't bother them, more importantly.
But the point is, yeah, they can get rid of you.
Right.
But they don't have to feel guilty about it because you're going to a place that has fun stuff to do. But the
exactly.
point is, society has moved in that direction. The idea of, well, my folks are going to say, that's almost gone. I mean, I would actually put myself in that category, but I don't want to sound like I'm being Mr. Wonderful. You know, I mean, if my folks, I mean, they're okay right now, but if they had to come stay with me, they'd come stay with me.
Of course, that's the case here, too. But the point I'm trying to make is what has replaced that sensibility? That the government will take care of your parents. That the government's going to take care of your grandparents. Like, in the 1940s and 1950s in the country, I can almost guarantee you it would be... You would be a social pariah if you had your mom or your pop living in an old age home if you were capable of having them live with you. Society would look at you like a scumbag, like an ungrateful child. And that's part of what's missing, Judah Lyrium, is this sort of like group shame that we all used to have. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you were an asshole, your neighbors let you know about it. I'm not saying you didn't have the right to be an asshole. Obviously, like being libertarians, if you want to be an asshole, be an asshole. You're I don't care. But there were consequences to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas right now, you're supposed to be an asshole, and everyone's supposed to smile and say, how wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things that I get this from my folks sometimes. It drives them crazy. Is you see these people with their kids, and the kids act like crazy. And the parents just sit there smiling at them. Like, aren't they the cutest thing? Like, you know, like there's no
I want to encourage their exactly. sense of whatever.
Like, you know, and telling them like this, stop like misbehaving is, falls under the heading of negative. Like, you know, like they don't want to tell them like not to do it. And like there's no proper, you know, like you don't want to take care of the older people. You're not telling the younger people what to do. Like, what are you doing at this
point? I'm telling you, people's sensibilities right now are that all that responsibility is now fallen on the government. They expect the government to do it. And it is really one of the saddest commentaries on American society that I can think of, that we as citizens, as people, A, want everything done for us, and B, we don't even have enough, I don't know, you know, there's a Greek word for this. I don't know if there's an English equivalent, Judolari. I mean, Greek, it's called philotimo. And what that means is a love of honor. And that's the strict interpretation of the word. But it really means like, in Greek, if you didn't want to take care of your parents, everyone you ran into would say, you have no philotimo. That would be what the community would tell you. You have no philotimo. And now, in America, we don't have an equivalent of that. We don't have that level of ostracizing them, of shame.
Ostracization.
I don't know what the right equivalent word is. But the thing here is, you would be like shunned in that society for not doing, quote unquote, the right thing.
Right.
And now we don't have any of that in this country.
No, it's totally selfish. It's totally self-involved. Like, if the parents are a problem, you send them to a home. Kids are active.
And we're not talking about poor people who can't afford right. to keep their parents around. That's the thing. Like, if you have the means to keep your parents around and you don't, that means that you just don't give a shit. You don't want to be inconvenienced. That's what that means. Okay? And to me, that is shameful. That is something that is unacceptable. Okay?
Well, yeah, you're not going to tell the Jerry Springer part of this society that they have responsibilities to people outside their trailer.
And that's the fucking shame in this country, Judolarium. That's really what's causing us to be in this situation.
Yeah, you know, as much as we fret about like Putin and ISIS and like that dickhead in North Korea, like it's always fun. I always tell people, you know, we're more similar to like the Roman Empire in the sense that if we ever go down, it's just going to be by our own deficiencies and our own.
Are you not entertained?
I mean, you know, I never look at it as like someone's going to come over here and like invade us and like wipe us out. Like it's always just been, you know, if we become like too fat, sloppy and stupid, we're just going to.
What do you mean if?
Well, no, we're not totally terrible yet, but it's bad and it's getting worse. That's how I look at it. There's still enough people who can keep this country going in the right direction. But, you know, we have to get back on top of, you know, like the nanny state is bullshit and all this political correctness is bullshit.
Judolarium, you're absolutely right.
And the worst thing that ever happens to you is that a construction worker tells you have a nice ass. You know.
Well, that happened to me the other day.
That was me.
Oh, sorry. No, but here's what I was thinking about, Judolarium, and I know it's only a drop in the bucket, but the latest projections from Nate Silver, you know, the little guy who seems to be uncannily accurate about everything,
Mr. Prognostic,
has further endeared himself to liberals and Democrats who now fucking hate him with a passion, by the way, because his latest models and statistics show that the Republicans have the highest shot ever of winning the Senate next week.
Yay.
Which now stands at 68.5%.
Yeah.
So now, let's assume he's right. Let's say the Republicans control the Senate. They will undoubtedly control the House. That means that now you have lame duck Obama entirely for the next 2 years. Do you realize we would be one Rand Paul victory away from theoretically and hopefully rolling back some of this monstrosity that is the government?
Well, we could be. But you know what the problem is? Like we said before, I don't see that the Republicans have much of a plan. And if they do anything too extreme or too radical, they're going to get beat up for it. They've got to come up with a smart way to...
What about repealing Obamacare?
you can't at this point.
Let's say you've got both Senate and House, and let's assume someone like Rand Paul wins in 2016. Do you think it's possible at that point?
No. Unfortunately, my view of it, especially after the Supreme Court thing, and they get a fix through the websites, and I was reading something the other day, and now like 10 million people have signed up. I think it's just here, and it's here to stay.
Of the 10 million, though, something like 74% of them are Medicaid expansions.
Yeah.
They have nothing to do.
I understand. You can critique it down. And they still have the people who lost their insurance.
Sure, sure.
Or their premiums got raised.
Right.
But I understand that, but my sense of it is that it's here to stay.
Well, like I said, it's a long shot. It'd be a drop in the bucket. But I would love to see Republican victory. And again,
I'd rather see them focus on debt. I'd rather see them focus on streamlining our military, and I think a lot of bases should be closed and save money. I'd like to see a flat tax. The Obamacare is a piece of shit, but it's just not at the top of my list. It's just not. Plus, I think we're stuck with it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's just an entitlement at this point. That's why I'm hoping, like, the only shot is get rid of it before it becomes like Social Security and it becomes just another Ponzi scheme. So. But anyway, we could talk about more about that a little bit next week, Judalarium, after the elections. Elections are Tuesday,
absolutely,
next Tuesday, of course.
Yeah, in the last show, I said the Republicans would probably get the 51 seats. I'm sticking with that, though I understand
it
could be, like you said, 52 or 50. I think it's 51, though.
Yeah. Look, 51's enough. I'm hoping it'll come in. I think it'll come in at 52 or 53. We'll see. Republicans, of course, maintaining or increasing their control of the House. I'm even hearing of, if you read that Nate Silver article, that it looks like Republicans will be gaining state houses and governorships across the country.
Yeah.
Really, really a typical midterm election in that people just hate the sitting incumbent parties.
Right.
That, you know, as much as Republicans are viewed as gridlock, I think there's even more people disappointed in what Obama's been unable to do. And what he has done has sucked, like Obamacare. So, hopefully this will be the end of Obama. And, in terms of his political career, we won't have to deal with him after next week. Although, Judalarium, don't forget, Obamacare got passed as part of a midterm package when all those House Democrats got swept out.
Yeah.
In 2012, that's when it passed, right? Because they did it on their way out the door when they didn't have anything to lose anymore.
He had to cut deals with some of them, and they were Democrats, and he had to cut deals to get it through. I mean, that goes to show you how little faith they had in it. But unfortunately, I think we're stuck with it. But I'm not too concerned about Obamacare. I'm not too worried about like Ebola and stuff. I think our debt is crippling. I think our tax system is crippling. Those are things that I focus on because I know that they're important. And I just hope the Republicans don't drop the ball here. There's a real opportunity for them. If they can get some stuff done and show that these things can be handled, it'll set up whoever their candidate is for president to make the case.
Of course.
You have to look down the line.
Right, right.
I hope they don't fuck it up.
And let's not forget, it becomes very important because there's going to be a lot of Supreme Court probably retirements in the next presidential cycle. So it becomes very, very important to have a Republican president, at least, you know, because otherwise you're going to have a Supreme Court packed with liberals.
Sotomayor.
And you know how they act when it comes to enacting, social policy through the courts.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be aware of that.
Judicial activism will be nuts if they get like two more guys on there.
It sounds goofy, but that's when you get these laws that like you can't have full sodas at tables and shit.
Yeah.
You know, when that shit becomes law, that the state has the ability to regulate how much sugar you consume. So you got to be careful of that shit. And I don't want anyone out there listening to think that because Nate Silver's predicting a Republican victory that you stay home. Go out and vote. Actually, I don't even care if you vote for the other side. Just go out and vote, for Christ's sake.
Oh, I do.
I mean, at the end, I'd like you to vote Libertarian, but at the end of the day, just go out and vote. Go out and vote. You know, exercise your rights as an American.
If you're a Democrat, feel free to stay home.
Yeah.
Just hang out, you know.
Yeah, I hear there's people with baseball bats if you're a Democrat. Stay home. Don't vote.
Stay home. Be lazy.
Yeah, live up to all those. You know you want to. Live up to all that bullshit voter suppression nonsense that I hear on MSNBC all the time.
From the genius that is Brzezinski.
I don't understand how like having an ID means you're having your right taken away from you.
I know you have a driver's license ID.
Yeah,
you have a passport.
You need an ID.
You need a picture ID to do like everything. In some states, get a gun.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, to vote, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a hindrance.
Oh, please.
Yeah. It's a hindrance to illegal aliens. I'll give you that much.
And it's a hindrance to people who vote in like three states.
Yeah. It's a hindrance to people, to Democrats in Chicago who have a long tradition of voting 3-4 times in the same election. It's a hindrance to the Daleys, you know, to Mayor Daley's outfits in Chicago, you know, ex-Mayor Daley, because, you know, those guys would bring out the dead to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a joke.
It's a hindrance to the people that Democrats intend to bus into.
Exactly.
And what does that tell you? When you have to bus people in, how motivated are people to vote? They can't be bothered to vote once every 2 years or four
years? Well, I think it's hilarious that the Democrats...
I know some of them are old people, but really.
The Democrats are champions of every method of voting except the one where you go to the polls to vote. In other words, they're for early voting, vote by mail, vote over the internet, vote with, you know, go to the churches, stack the buses with every like half incompetent person sitting in the pews. They're all for that. You know, they're for every methodology like that. The methodology where you go to the polls and show your driver's license or your ID to say, this is me, I'm here to cast my vote, that they're against. You know? And you hear some bullshit, well, we've only ever caught 1% of voter fraud. Yeah, caught 1% of voter fraud.
Exactly.
I knew a mutual friend of ours who would take his senile grandmother to vote, Judelarian. And whenever he got to the poll, because it was the local polling place, they all knew each other. You know, it's like the same old ladies that are at the church on Sunday are usually the ones manning the polling booths, right? And when his grandmother would show up, he would say, oh, she can't see very well. Do you mind if I go in with her to vote? And they would say, of course. And then he would go in there with his grandma. He just like put her on the chair facing away from the machine or something. And he'd like pull the lever. Now, this guy was a conservative, so he would pull the lever for like Reagan or whatever. Yeah. But it was just a joke. Like, you know, there was no test to see if this woman was... competent enough to vote. But this went on for years. I used to laugh because I thought it was hilarious. She can't reach the top row. Do you mind if I go in to help her? Oh, no, go ahead. It's like, hey, Grandma, did you vote the way you wanted to? Yes. Oh, good.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's true. So anyway, let's cut the nonsense with the voter suppression. All right. That's about it for this week, Judelarian. You think we've given everybody enough show?
That is more than enough show.
All right, so fuck everybody out there. You're not getting any more show.
$1.06 is enough.
There you go. All right. Until next week, when we join you again to discuss what's happening in the world, the country, and your neighborhoods, or just what's happening between me and Judelarian, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judelarian.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.